is there life on other planets? Now, before we read the scriptures, I want to take a little survey here. I've got my own survey here that I looked up. But and listen, please don't be embarrassed, okay? But just honestly, be honest. I'm going to ask you three questions, maybe four. But first of all, I'm going to ask you, how many of you believe that there is life on other planets? And so how many of you believe that there's life on other planets? Put your hands up. If you believe there's life on other planets. All right, we have a few. You don't know? Yeah, I know. All right, some of you believe, not too many, believe that there is life. No, there are microscopic. There is microscopic life. And they say that Mars at one time was covered with water like our planet is now. But over the billions of years or millions of years, it all dissipated. And now it's down to like a little tiny itsy bitsy. You can barely see the puddle or whatever. There could be some water under the surface. We don't know. But there are people. All right. So that's question number one. Believe there's life on other planets. Number two, how many of you don't think there's life on other planets? Raise your hand. Okay, quite a few people think you don't believe there's life on other planets. How many of you don't really know? Question number four, how many of you don't really care? Okay, all right. So we're going to take a look at a biblical perspective of, is there life on other planets? And so when we get done with the study here tonight, you'll be able to determine, possibly, whether you think there might be some life on other planets or not. Are we alone in the universe? See, that's the question that everybody says. Are we alone in the universe? Is there life on other planets? Are there alien beings that are flying around and flying saucers? And that is a question that a lot of people have. There is a lot of people. A lot of people are asking the question: are we alone in the universe? Is when it comes to life on other planets. The Milky Way is a spiral galaxy with a diameter between 150 to 200,000 light years across. It's estimated to contain anywhere from 100 to 4 billion stars, 400 billion stars, and more than 100 billion planets. That's just in our galaxy. Just in our Milky Way. But it's puny compared to M87, whatever that is. It's another galaxy that's almost a million light years across. Can't imagine it. That is huge. The Milky Way, again, is only 150,000 light years across, and so that's small. And then Hercules A is 1.5 million light years across. So our galaxy is small in comparison to many of the galaxies that are out there. I mean, it blows your mind when you stop and think of how many stars are. They say there's trillions of stars. Trillions of stars. There's billions, possibly trillions of galaxies. They cannot find the end of the universe. They don't know where the telescopes that man has built, they have no idea what's out there. No clue. We have a lot of, space movies. We live in the age of space movies and space TV shows. I just jotted down a few of the old ones. I used to enjoy, really, the old Star Trek. Could never get into the new Star Treks. Never. That's not me. I mean, that's me. Maybe you loved them. But I liked the old Star Trek. Then there was the Star Wars. I never got into the Star Wars. I can't understand the Star Wars. With all these hairy things running around and D2, M2, or M... R2, D2. So there's CPPO, C3PO, C3PO. All right, whatever that is. But I used to enjoy the old Lost in Space. Remember that one? I like that one. That was a good old show. I enjoyed that. And then there was the Flash Gordon, going way back, 40s or 50s, I think. And then there is, there's Elf. You still really like Elf? I enjoyed Elf. I'm sorry. We used to love Elf. We would sit around. I got a lot of the DVDs of Elf. And so he was an alien. That's ALF, Elf, alien life form. I mean, you see him on TV, he must be real, right? this fuzzy thing that eats cats, you know, on this other planet or what? So, I mean, we are inundated with these TV shows. And you could probably name...
My Favorite Martian.
My Favorite Martian, yes, yes, yes. Used to watch that. Saw that not long ago, one of the old black and whites. And he was from Mars, and the little antennas would come up, and, you know, and all of that stuff. I mean, we would sit around and watch that stuff, and most of us understood that that's probably only fiction, but there are people that really believe that there are Martians zooming back and forth from Earth to Mars. And there are other alien life forms around. The ABC News Channel 7 in Chicago 2 years ago, not even quite 2 years ago, did a study and found the following. Listen to this. Most people believe in life on other planets. Most people believe in life on other planets. A newly released study that canvassed respondents around the world claims this. After surveying 26,492 people in 24 different countries, research firm Motivaction, it's called, found that more than 60% of respondents believe that life in some form exists on another planet. 60% believe there has got to be some kind of life form out there. An additional 22% of respondents weren't sure about extraterrestrial life, and 17% denied it. But how advanced could alien life really be? The study goes on. Nearly half of those surveyed said that they believe in intelligent alien life. And so they believe there's something up there, maybe silver or whatever, that is flying back and forth. We don't know. 28% aren't sure. In Russia, Mexico, China, Romania, and Japan, public opinion swayed in favor of intelligent life, with a majority of respondents in those nations affirming that alien life is advanced. According to this survey, people who believe in intelligent alien life are more likely to value arts and culture and politics and scientific progress and to be open-minded and tolerant. They also value freedom of expression and are willing to challenge authority. Wow. There are many today that believe in the extraterrestrial. We have Area 51. Right? And some of you might say, yeah, that's real, and they got aliens in there, and they've got flying saucers, and that's never been substantiated. It's never been... People think that. And they just had a big, big gathering not long ago where a handful of people showed up. I forget exactly what it was. But UFOs, huh? They were going to storm it. Yeah, they were going to get it. Yeah, you're going to storm the United States Air Force standing out there with guns. You're going to storm it and find out what's in there. I'd just leave it alone. Whatever the Air Force is doing, let them do it. I mean, but there are people, you've seen the movies, Independence Day, right? Where the president went into Area 51 and there they were. There was the aliens. That's got to be true then, right? If it's on TV in a movie, it's got to be true. And so there are people that believe in this, Roswell and beings from other planets, UFOs, flying saucers, and some, I hope there's nobody in here because I don't want to offend you, but there are some that believe that they've been abducted.
Could be.
Anybody? All right, Laura says she's been abducted from, all right, so we've got one person here that's been abducted. You've just been abducted by the Luffman family. I don't know what else I can tell you there. So, anybody else think they've been abducted, you know, by flying... Marianne, okay, Marianne. That's right, I know. Well, hey, you snooze, you lose. That's all I can say. I know Bob, he probably was abducted at one time in his life. No, right, right. That's a whole different message. Maybe next week, you know, is there really a Sasquatch? I don't know. No, no. But there are people that claim to be... that they have been abducted. You've talked to them. You've seen them. They walk around with the foil hats and all of that because they think that they're, you know, it's just crazy. But did you know that even our hymn writer, Isaac Watts, that wrote, I forget how many hymns. We have several of his hymns in our hymn book. Isaac Watts thought that other planets in the solar system were inhabited. When he said this, and I quote, "Several of the planets are vast, bulky, dark bodies, some of them bigger than our Earth, and consequently fitted for the dwelling of some creatures." Now, here's a hymn writer that has written some of our hymns that kind of believe that possibly there was life on other planets. Many other people have suggested that as the sun has planets, other stars might also have inhabited planets. And that's the argument. Well, how do we know that there's not another solar system out there like ours, or there's not another planet out there like Earth, just like ours? And how do we know that there isn't any life on that planet? And some have suggested that that's very possible. Some people have believed that life was on the moon. Until we went there and figured out, I don't see anybody there. Nobody's there. Did you know that there were some people that actually believed that the sun had people living on the sun? It'd be a little warm. You'd need air conditioning on the sun. So we know, we know much more today about the environment on these different planets. And no other planet in our solar system can have life on it like we have life. Right. Earth is a very special planet.
Right.
And we're going to look at some things biblically as to what this is all about. Until evidence is really found, the question of extraterrestrial life lies really beyond the realm of science. NASA is still trying to figure out how much life is out there. They think that they hear things. They got these telescopes and all this stuff that they can hear. They say that they can hear alien life form. The Bible talks about, and we know that stars actually sing. Do you know that they sing to the glory and honor of God? They actually make a noise. And so whatever noise they might be hearing, it's not necessarily some alien life form zooming around in a flying saucer. So where does life come from? Evolutionists have two options with the question, where does life come from? Obviously, option number one is they think that everything spontaneously just happened over millions and millions and millions of years. They say that the Big Bang was about 4.5 billion years ago. And everything just went out from that huge Big Bang, that explosion in the universe. And the evolutionists believe that it was the size of the period on your page, little tiny thing, and that exploded. And we have the vast universe that we have today. You know, there's got to be something wrong upstairs to believe something like that. That how can something so tiny give us the vast universe and the amazing size of stars and galaxies and planets and moons and everything working together? How does that just come about? So that's one of the options that the evolutionists have, that it just came about by chance. The other option is did someone create it? Of course, they don't want to look at option number two. They want to go back to option number one. And so everything got here by chance. We got here by evolution because they won't accept the second option. But what does the Bible have to say? Let's take a look at Genesis chapter 1. Now, we are believers and we trust the Bible. Amen?
Amen.
Say amen to that. We trust the Bible. And when the Bible is silent on something, so should we. All right? So should we be silent on the matter. But when the Bible makes a statement, then we believe it. I mean, that's an automatic. And so we trust the Bible when it says that God, in the beginning, chapter 1, verse 1, I put it on a sign. I don't know if you noticed that or not, but in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. So God created the heaven and the earth. You say, well, that's fine. He created just this right here. Just this, the heaven and just our earth. But let's go over to verse 14 and see what else God did. And God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years. And let them be for lights in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth. And it was so. And God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night. And look at this next little statement. And it's almost like he made the stars also. There's nothing there that says that he made planets around these stars. I'm not saying there isn't. I'm just saying, and he made the stars also. So God created this universe, this vast universe that we see. God created every star. I don't know how many trillions there are, or how many galaxies there are, or how many suns and planets and moons there are. But you know that God created every one of them? He created the big one, Hercules A. He created, you know, He created all of these massive, massive galaxies out there. And God created those things. And we've got to remember, with God, there is no time element at all with God. There's no time. There's no past, present. I mean, with God, He is eternal. So when He created something, you know, millions or billions of light years away, with God, that's just an instantaneous thing. And I really believe that someday when we get to heaven, we get a glorified body. I don't know how we're going to do this, and I don't know if God is going to allow us, but wouldn't it be neat to travel to maybe another galaxy, another planet somewhere, and be able to see what else is out there? That would be a neat thing to do. I'm one of these curious type of guys. When I look at that, I think about that. I don't know if God's going to allow us to do that. I really don't know. I do know that He focuses primarily on earth. And that's what we're going to look at tonight, how God focuses on earth. Out of all of the millions and billions of stars and planets that's out there, you know what? We don't really think about those. Because what we need to focus on is planet earth. And what was God's crown creation on planet earth? Mankind. Mankind. That was God's crown creation, was mankind. So the Bible really is silent about this extraterrestrial life. Now, I'm not talking about angels. Okay, angels, we believe in angels. There are evil angels, there are wicked devils, and there are good angels. And so this has nothing to do with that. And they have the ability to travel back and forth. I believe that. They have that ability to be able to travel back and forth from heaven to earth. We see that in the book of Job. We see that in other places throughout the Bible, that God has sent angels down here to be able to be a help to man. So He made the stars also. Verse 17 of Genesis 1, and God set them in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth, and to rule over the day and over the night, and to divide the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good, and the evening and the morning were the fourth day. So God created not only our sun and our moon. The lesser light is the moon to rule the evening and the nighttime, and the greater, of course, is the sun to give us heat and light and all of the things we need. But also, when you think about when it said He made the stars also, they're there also to give light. They're there also. God has made them there for us to see them at night. Abraham Lincoln said this, "I cannot perceive how a man can look into the heavens and say there is no God." Our 16th president said that. How can you look up to heaven and not believe in God? You must believe in God when you look in the heavens. And look at those stars and look at the amazing feats that God has done. And so as we read on the fourth day, that's what God did on the fourth day. He made the sun, the moon, and He made all the stars out there. Made them all. So God's whole creation is not just the earth. God's whole creation is the entire universe. Amen? Is that what the Bible says? So once we get that established as our foundation, then we can go and look at other verses and look at other things. But mankind, primarily humans, of course, appear to be the center of God's creation. Now remember, He said that He made the stars also, but now He's going to focus on not just all the stars that are out there, He's going to focus on planet Earth. And He's going to focus on primarily not just the animals and the plant life and all the other things that we see in the water and the air that we breathe, but He's going to focus on man. And something that amazed me, that when God focused on mankind to be His crown jewel of creation, His crown jewel of creation is the only crown jewel of creation that rejects God and goes against God and says, "I don't believe in you, God. I don't want you as my Savior. I don't care about what you say. I don't care about what the Bible says about fill in the blank." His crown jewel is mankind, and mankind rejects our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ on a regular basis and rejects God. Isn't that sad? That when God created man, He created man to have fellowship with man, to be able to have the special time with man. And we see that throughout the Bible. But let's take a look at some other scripture. Go over to Psalm 8. Psalm 8, verses 3 through 9. Psalm 8. Psalm 8. Psalm chapter 8, or the 8th Psalm, starting in verse 3, going down to verse 9. Psalm 8, in verse 3. When I consider the heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars, which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? For thou hast made him a little lower than the angels, and hast crowned him with glory and honor. Thou madest him to have dominion over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, yea, and the beasts of the field, the fowl of the air, the fish of the sea, and whatsoever passeth through the paths of the seas. Our Lord, O Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. So again, God focuses on the creation of man and has put man in charge of the entire earth. He didn't put man in charge of the moon. He didn't put man in charge of, you know, going out and seeing if there's life on Mars and all these other places. He put man on earth to literally run earth, to have dominion over the animals and over the fowl and over the fish in the sea. That's what man's job was. God gave man that responsibility in Genesis chapter 1. But again, man failed. But his primary crown jewel of creation is man. Go back to Genesis chapter 1 and verse 26. We know the verses, but Genesis 1, 26. Genesis chapter 1, look at verse 26. Genesis 1, 26. And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. And God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female, by the way, created he them. And we do not live in a fluid society, as we are being propagated and demanded that we have to accept all these different genders. No, there's only two genders. And I even heard this past week from liberals that was interviewed on in the news, that even they understand that you cannot change your gender. These are liberal left-wing people that, you know, believe in abortion, believe in all, but they say, you know what, we cannot change our gender. Whatever we were born with, we're stuck with it, whether you like it or not. You can give hormones and you can have operations. You can do all of these things. But listen, you cannot change the gender. But we're living in a society today that thinks that it's racist to call somebody man or woman. And we're being told that you can't use certain terms anymore in colleges and on jobs. It's foolish. It's ridiculous. God created man, created woman. That's it. Not 95 or 90 or whatever they're saying, how many genders are out. There's two, male and female. That's all God created. If he wanted to create a bunch more, he could have done that, but he didn't do that. Anyway, mankind, humans, are the center of God's creation. Look at Genesis 2:7. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the earth, dust of the ground, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. So God tells us how we received our life. We received our life from God. Go to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. And look at verse 7. Philippians 2:7. Philippians chapter 2, verse 7, talking about Jesus Christ. Philippians 2:7, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of man, a man. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. This is Jesus Christ. He took on a form of a man, is what he did. And again, he did that for the purpose that we are sinners, that we are in need of a Savior. Every human being needs a Savior. Amen? Every human being. You, me, many of us in this room are saved, but every human being needs to be saved in order for them to go to heaven. You cannot get to heaven based upon your opinion or whatever you think is the right way. There's one way, that's through Jesus Christ. Christ took upon the form of a servant. He literally became man in order to provide salvation. Look at Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews 2. Hebrews chapter 2, verses 7, 8, and 9. Hebrews 2, 7, 8, and 9. Hebrews chapter 2, 7, 8, and 9. Thou madest him a little lower than the angels. Thou crownest him with glory and honor, and didst set him over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things in subjection under his feet. For in that he put all in subjection under him, he left nothing that is not put under him. But now we see not yet all things put under him. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. Verses 7 and 8 is dealing with man. Verse 9, of course, is dealing with Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ came down on this earth and was made into a man so he could die for man so we could have salvation. He could not come any other way. He had to come as a man in order to die for man. Go over to Isaiah chapter 45. Isaiah 45. Isaiah 45. While you're turning over there, I'll ask you a question and then we'll answer it. But do you know who primarily believes in life on other planets primarily? Or extraterrestrial life? Do you know who primarily believes that? Evolutionists. Evolutionists, because evolutionists do not believe that in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. Evolutionists, they don't believe that God created the stars and the sun and the moon and the planets. They don't believe that. They don't believe that there is a God that oversees and controls and rules the entire universe. Evolutionists say there is no God. Or there might be something out there, but we still got here by evolution. And so when you believe in evolution, you could probably say, yeah, there is probably life out there. Yeah, there is probably aliens out there walking around. There is probably that kind of a life out there somewhere. Because if we evolved here as we did, why couldn't they evolve out there as they did? That's what an evolutionist believes. Isaiah 45 verse 18 says this, "For thus saith the Lord that created the heavens, God Himself that formed the earth and made it, He hath established it, He created it not in vain, He formed it to be inhabited, I am the Lord, and there is none else." That's pretty simple to understand that, amen? Anybody can understand that verse. And so, if there are intelligent life forms, as evolutionists and others claim, then that would be listen to this, what would be the spiritual state of those extraterrestrials? If there was something else out there, if there's these alien life forms in Area 51 that they've been hiding, you know, whatever they've done, and what is their spiritual state? What are they? How are they spiritually made up? Because we're spiritually made up. And so that becomes a question, then what is that spiritual state of these extraterrestrials? If other beings from other worlds really exist, then they must possess souls and eternal destinies. Right? They must possess some kind of a soul. They must possess some kind of destiny. And the question is who created them if they're out there? That really presents a major problem. Because something had to create them. And all of the sci-fi pictures that... Do you understand that sci-fi is fiction? Right? Maybe there's some that don't believe. Maybe you believe all the Star Trek and Star Wars, and maybe you believe in all that stuff and Lost in Space. But in most of those, somebody's always dying on some other planet. There's always some alien that, you know, you shoot them and they die or whatever the case may be. So in a minute here, we're going to talk about, but what has brought death into the universe? Sin. So if these other alien life forms are dying, then they must have sinned somewhere. And if they have sinned, who died for their sins? See, you see the questions that come about when you start toying with some of these things? Look at Romans chapter 5. Romans 5. Now, I'm giving you this little study here tonight just to make you think. Just to give you something to scratch your bald head if you got a bald head, or a hairy head if you have hair on your head. Whatever. Just to think about. Romans chapter 5, verse 12. Romans chapter 5, look at verse 12. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. You know that. We understand that death came by way of Adam. Right? The Bible makes it very clear. Adam sinned in the garden, brought in sin. The curse came to earth. The curse came upon man. Matter of fact, the curse came upon the entire creation. It wasn't just to man. Animals now die. Fish die. Birds die. Everything is dying. The sun is burning up. Other planets are dying. Everything is dying as a result of what? The sin that entered into the Garden of Eden based upon what had happened. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come. But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. And not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift. For the judgment was by one to condemnation, but the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. That as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. And so we have the recorded message here that Adam brought sin into the world in death by sin. That's why Christ had to come, die on a cross, shed his blood for the transgression of the world, for all of mankind. So if extraterrestrials also are sinners because of Adam's sin, that would mean that Christ's finished work on Calvary would need to also atone for their sins. And we don't find that anywhere in Scripture. Right? You don't find that in the Bible anywhere. The atonement for our sin is always through Jesus Christ. But to these other worlds, supposedly, and to these aliens, Christ would have to go and die for them. Right? I mean, if they're dying, that means something has caused their death. And some people argue and say, well, those aliens, they don't die. Okay, how do you know they don't die? Have you ever met one that's been alive eternally? They started somewhere. They came from something. And many of them we see in the movies and on TV, they die. And so this really causes a major problem. We have to remember that death is a result of sin that crept into the world. And if death comes to those so-called aliens, as the Area 51 conspiracy theorists say, that there's dead aliens in there, then how are they saved? How are they saved? Well, I think they're saved the same way we are saved. Really? Jesus went to their planet and died for them on the cross. See, that's a foolish thing to even think about. You can't even think that way because there is nothing recorded in the Word of God that even suggests anything like that. And so we have to push that aside. Listen, here's the problem that we have so often. We listen too much to evolutionists. And we listen too much to other people. We watch too much television. And we believe the things that we see and read so often, that we start believing that. And we start adhering to it. And we start saying, it could be impossible that there's aliens on other planets. But when you get in your Bible and you start really studying and reading it out, It's not mentioned anywhere in Scripture. God created the stars also. And if He was going to give other creation to those other planets, I really believe that He would have put something in the Word of God. And it's not there anywhere. So, again, you can see that this really becomes kind of a folly and a far-out idea that people have. And I know there's the Star Trek, the Trekkies and the Star Wars people. They go around to all of the conventions and they wear all of their outfits. They think that they're part of that whole thing. And so we need to be careful about that. But according to the New Testament, Jesus ascended after His resurrection. Go over to Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 12. Hebrews 10, 12. Look at Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 12. 12. Hebrews 10, 12. Chapter 10, Hebrews, verse 12. Hebrews 10, 12. The Bible is true, right? Yeah. What we read in the Bible is accurate, right? Yeah. Well, look what it says in this verse. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God. So the Lord Jesus Christ died for every human being. Every man can be saved. Every human being can be saved by trusting in Jesus Christ. He died one time on the cross, and He's right now seated at the right hand of God. His focal point is still earth. It's not other planets out there that I know of. All right? I don't believe that. Some Christians, again, will argue that perhaps these extraterrestrials may not have fallen into sin, but are not sinners as we are. That they're just some alien life form out there floating around and advanced, and they're not subject to the effects of sin. But now go over to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. Romans 8, look at verse 18. Romans 8, 18. Romans 8, 18. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of Him who hath subjected the same in hope, because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the... Next words, please. Whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. The whole creation. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. For we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. What about that whole creation thing? What's the whole creation? Doesn't that include on the fourth day? God created the sun, the moon, and the stars also. He made the stars also. So that includes the stars. That includes, to me, the entire universe. Man has brought sin to the entire universe. And Jesus Christ had to come and die for mankind. And so this passage of Scripture really refutes that thought that some Christians might believe. Well, there's something out there, and they haven't fallen into sin like we have, and they're not sinners, and they're not subjected to the effects of sin here. But the whole creation groaneth. The whole. W-H-O-L-E. That includes it all. Doesn't include just the earth. It includes everything. And because man and sin tainted all of creation, God must replace the current universe with a new heaven and a new earth. He's got to remake the entire thing because of man. Go over to Isaiah 65. Isaiah 65. Isaiah 65, verse 17. Isaiah 65, verse 17. For behold, I create new heavens and a new earth, and the former shall not be remembered nor come into mind. create new heavens, plural. That to me includes it all. Look at 66:22. Isaiah 66, verse 22. For as the new heavens and the new earth which I will make shall remain before me, saith the Lord, so shall your seed and your name remain. Go to 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter 3, look at verse 10. 2 Peter 3, verse 10. 10 through 13. 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 10 through 13. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Folks, that is true global warming. That is true climate change. You want to find climate change in the Bible? There it is. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens, being on fire, shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. I don't know how God is going to do this, but the Bible is telling us that He has got to remake the entire creation. Heavens and everything is going to be remade. You talk about supernovas. You talk about stars exploding or however God... I don't know how God is going to do this. But it's amazing what God is going to do. Revelation chapter 21, verse 1. Revelation 21, 1. Revelation 21 and verse 1. Revelation 21:1, and I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there is no more sea. And it goes on and talks about the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of God, from heaven. So God's going to remake this entire creation. He made it once, Genesis chapter 1. He's got to remake it again in Revelation 21, verse 1, when He has to remake it. And He has to remake it because we, man, messed it up. We harmed, listen to me, we harmed God's creation. It's our fault that we live in a world of death, decay, disease, destruction. Don't blame God for that. So many people, to even Christians, blame God for their health and blame God for their problems that they have in their life and blame God for this and blame God for that. It's not God's fault. We destroyed the very creation that God created without a flaw. The only flaw, and I'm not using this in disrespect to God, the only thing that God put on planet Earth that could have flawed was mankind. And you know what man did? He flawed. He sinned. He literally brought the entire curse of the universe and upon this world to this world because of man's disobedience to God. God's crown jewel in creation destroyed everything. Listen, everything that God did. We destroyed it. We should have been on that cross. Jesus Christ He should not have had to die on that cross for our sins. We should have been nailed to that cross. But thank God He came and took our sins away. The bottom line is the earth is unique where life is concerned. I mean, it is a unique planet. There is no doubt about it. There is not another planet like Earth that I know of in the entire universe. But I'm just speaking that because that's all we see in the Bible. All right, we can sit there and kind of wonder, well, yeah, but there still could be this or that. Let's not go there because the Bible is silent on all of that. What is the Lord concerned with in this book? He's concerned with mankind. He's concerned with this earth. He created it flawless and we flawed it. God created life in a very special way. Everything that God did was very special in Genesis chapters 1 and 2. Very special. Amen. And the Bible says over and over and over again, I forget exactly how many times, I got it written down in the pages here of Genesis, But everything that God did was good. Everything, it was good. And God said 10 times, and it was so 6 times, and after His kind 10 times, and over and over and over again, you see that it was good. Everything, His entire creation was a good creation. Day 1, day 2, day 3, day 4, day 5, and day 6. Every day of creation, He finished the day of creation by saying it was good. It was very good. Verse 31 of chapter 1, and God saw everything that He had made, and behold, it was very good. And the evening and the morning were the sixth day. We're the ones that messed it up. We're the ones that destroyed God's very creation. Again, the bottom line is earth is unique. Man is unique. We serve a unique God. We serve a unique Savior. Folks, realize how real and how God is our Lord. God, Jesus Christ is our Lord and Savior. We owe Him. We owe Him so much for what He did for us on the cross. I'm looking forward to the day that He removes the curse off this earth. Can't imagine what it looked like. I thank God all the time for the beauty out there that we see. And I say, Lord, and we're looking at a cursed world. I'm looking at cursed trees and cursed flowers. I can't imagine what it's going to look like when the curse is removed. It's going to be incredibly remarkable. And then when He remakes the heavens and the earth, can you imagine what that's going to be like? Can't imagine it. But one of these days we're going to actually see it for ourselves. We're going to be part of it. And God is going to, I don't know what He's going to do. I don't know. Let me just read Isaiah 45:18 again and we'll close. For thus saith the Lord that created the heavens, God Himself that formed the earth and made it. He hath established it. He created it not in vain. He formed it to be inhabited. I am the Lord and there is none else. So, is there life out there and aliens flying around and flying saucers? No. 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 Well, what about those sightings that they've seen? I can't explain them. I don't know. But whatever it is, I am concerned about planet Earth. And I'm concerned about mankind. So many people are lost and dying and going. They're going to go to hell someday if they don't get saved. And we ought to be concerned about that. We ought to be concerned about, am I living right for the Lord? Am I doing right for the Lord? Am I trying to serve Him the best that I can? Am I trying to live a holy, righteous life? Is there sin in my life that I need to get out? Questions. But those are the questions we ought to be asking. Not is there life out there somewhere? You know? Let's pray. Father, thank You again for the message. Thank You, Lord, for the Scriptures that we have read tonight and looked at. And Lord, I pray that You would help us to realize that this creation that You made is such a special creation. You created this world to be inhabited by mankind. You created the animals.